Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking about the NFL playoffs. And to help us do that, we go to one of the guys I've enjoyed watching the most throughout my life, talking all things NFL on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey Wingo joins us now, doing some great stuff with the Half Forgotten History podcast, also the Chop Shop with Mark Schlereth. Trey, I've really enjoyed the work you've been doing as of late. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Hey, thanks for that, man. We're having a lot of fun. That's all that matters. So I hope you guys are doing well, and sorry about the Titans.
Speaking of that, obviously a tough week for Titans fans this week. What did you think of the game for the Titans against the Ravens, and specifically how the Ravens were able to just totally neutralize Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in that game?
Well, look, I mean, it couldn't have started better, right? You're up 10-0. Arthur Smith had dialed up a great script to start that game. But after that, you guys were outscored 20-3. And what you said, I think, is the most important thing, because people are talking about, hey, Lamar Jackson finally got his first playoff win, which I hate because he didn't do it by himself. Okay? No quarterback wins a game by themselves. So the most important thing was, they neutralized Derrick Henry, and what I consider the coolest thing about that from a team-building perspective is the last season, Henry ran roughshod over the Ravens in Baltimore in that night playoff game, and they made a concerted effort as a franchise, the Ravens did, in the offseason to say, we're not going to let that happen again. So what did they do? They went out in the offseason and got Calais Campbell, and then they thought they got Michael Brockers from the Rams, and then he failed a physical, so they went and got Derek Wolfe. Those are two big run-stuffing dudes on that defensive line, and they had a plan. They saw that they had a flaw. They went out and fixed that flaw, and you saw that come to fruition last weekend when they took care of Derrick Henry. And that's the thing that I appreciated most from the Ravens' perspective about, listen, we can't let this happen again, and they went out and got the people to make sure it wouldn't happen again.
Yeah, certainly paid off. Of course, I know of another AFC team that had a flaw and went out and spent a lot of money on pass rushers who had zero sacks. So it doesn't always work out that way or work out well for teams. But Trey, with the Ravens moving forward, this game at Buffalo, do you feel like you said, I mean, it's overblown with the Lamar Jackson stuff. I mean, it was his third freaking game. But do you think that that's now maybe a little bit of weight lifted and a dangerous team that can get some more wins here?
Oh, look, listen, it absolutely was a thing mentally for him. But I'm not a big believer in wins as a quarterback stat, right? It's just not a thing that I subscribe to because, like we said, it was a 20-13 game, even with Lamar Jackson running for over 100 yards in a playoff and throwing for actually more yards in the air than Ryan Tannehill did, which if you told me that would have happened in that game, I would have said, how much money can I place on that to not happen? So I give him a lot of credit. I give him a lot of credit on that, but the other thing, too, that was the first time in Lamar's career as a starting quarterback that the team had won a game in which they'd fallen behind by 10 or more points. He had been 0-6. The Ravens had been 0-6 in those situations. So from that perspective, for Lamar to be able to take a terrible start where they fall down 10-0, and then he threw that horrible arm punt to Malcolm Butler for the first interception of that game, for him to mentally shrug that off and say, I'm going to be fine, I think does bode well for them in the future. And the game this weekend in Buffalo is going to be insane because, you know, in many ways, and people are going to, like, freak out about this, Lamar and Josh are very similar in their ability to move the ball with their legs. Obviously, Josh is a much more polished passer at this point, but that game, I think, is the most interesting game of the weekend because, look, Buffalo was great in their and Josh was phenomenal in their win over Indianapolis, but again, to that point, it was a 27-24 game, and Josh was, what, 26 of 34 in that game for 324 yards and two touchdowns and no interceptions, and it still took a Herculean effort by the defense and some really questionable coaching decisions by Frank Reich to allow them to win that game. So it's never about one person in terms of what the outcome is, especially in the postseason.
Trey Wingo on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Trey, I heard you and Mark talking about this. And look, you know Mike Vrabel. You know what he's about. You know what he was about as a player. And he's been so aggressive during his time here as coach of the Titans. But the 4th-and-2, the decision to punt there in that situation, trailing 17-13, how surprising was that to you? And I guess how going against the grain was that compared to what we've seen out of Mike Vrabel his entire coaching career so far?
Yeah. It was a real stunner for me. I mean, you're on the 40-yard line. You're down, as you said, by 4 points. And, you do have Derrick Henry. Now, granted, it had not been a good day for Derrick Henry. There's no question about that. But to me, in that situation, I was literally shocked that they didn't go for it. And I think on the ensuing drive, the Ravens had a 4th-and-1 or 2 from the 38. And I think they went for it, and they got Willie Snead got called for a pick. Otherwise, they would have had the first down easily. So I was really flummoxed that he did not go for it in that situation. Again, as to what you said, how aggressive and creative he's been as a play caller, as a head coach, and the things he's been able to sort of pull out of nowhere, I was very, very much surprised that he did not go for it in that situation.
Trey, a lot of talk all year about, you know, how bad the Titans' defense was, which – to me, it was more a personnel thing than anything. Again, they tried to address pass rush. They weren't able to do it. They're running out undrafted, you know, guys to try to help Harold Landry. But no defensive coordinator was a talking point all year as well. Obviously, you're not going to snap your fingers and replace a Dean Pease. But how much of a factor do you think that is? How important do you think it is that Mike Vrabel finds or elevates someone to actually be the, you know, the named DC?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think someone needs to be the defensive coordinator there. It's like the Texans, right? The Texans went for 2 years thinking they didn't need a general manager. And then they trade away Laremy Tunsil. They trade for Laremy Tunsil and give away all these first-round picks and don't sign him to a contract so he has all the leverage. Then Bill O'Brien trades away DeAndre Hopkins, and it was an absolute mess. So what do they do now after 2 seasons of thinking we don't need a general manager? They hire Nick Caserio and make him the 3rd highest paid general manager in the league. So that tells you that was not a good plan, okay? And I think that same situation needs to be addressed with the Tennessee Titans.
Trey, looking at the NFC right now, obviously 3 old heads at quarterback with Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers in that conference right now. We know how accomplished Brady is, and we know Brees and Rodgers, 2 of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. How important do you think it is for those two specifically to get that 2nd Super Bowl? When you're starting to talk about legacy and, you know, the greatest quarterbacks of all time in that conversation, how important is getting that 2nd Super Bowl ring?
Well, I think that for them it means a lot. I'm an outlier here. I'm not a ring counter. Like, you're not going to – my argument for someone being the best isn't they've won the most championships. That means they're on a really good team. To me, being the best means you excel at your position, and you excel at your position in critical situations. So the ring thing for me is not something that I hang my mantle on in terms of who is the greatest of all time. All that being said, yes, it is desperation time for both Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, because what we're seeing here, I mean, the Saints the last 3 years in the postseason, it's been unbelievable. They're the first team ever, and I got to phrase this correctly, because you say it the wrong way and it makes no sense. They're the first team ever to lose 3 straight playoff games with the game-winning points coming on the last play of the game. Someone once said it this way. They said, oh, you know, the Saints, they've lost 3 straight games in the postseason having fewer points. I'm like, yeah, that's how it works. If you don't score more, you lose the game. So you have to explain it like, on the last play of the game, the last play was the winning point. That's never happened before. My preseason prediction for the Super Bowl was the Chiefs and the Saints based on a couple of things. One, obviously Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. And 2, in this weird season that we had where there was no offseason, there was no preseason, there was no OTAs, there was no mini camps, there was no training camps really, that stability meant something. Now, we've seen Drew Brees fall off the cliff a little bit here. And, he's not what he was. And he's nowhere close. And he has the fractured ribs. Aaron Rodgers is playing as well as anybody. And I think he's going to be the MVP of the league. I'm concerned about Drew Brees and the Saints this weekend, because going up against the Bucs and beating a team for a 3rd time is not really a thing. The last 3 times that has had the ability to happen, it's happened. But the way Brees and the Saints are playing, as opposed to the way Brady and the Bucs are playing right now, I mean, the last 6 weeks of the season, Tom Brady played quarterback better than anybody. He was absolutely phenomenal. So the Rodgers thing is interesting because there is a real home field advantage in Green Bay, right? I mean, even though there's no fans in the stands, there's a home field advantage there with the weather, especially if you're talking about a team from Tampa or a team from New Orleans in a dome that's going to come up there and play them on championship weekend if it gets that far. And I think this is the best chance that Aaron Rodgers has to get. I mean, not only has he won one Super Bowl, they've only been to one. And that's the amazing thing to me about the Packers. With everything that guy has, and as long as he's been around, the fact that they've only been to one is absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, no doubt. Trey, you mentioned earlier Bill O'Brien's GM skills, obviously fared better as a coach. Now he's in the Nick Saban coaching career repair shop here in Alabama, yeah. Apparently. But I think back to a year ago, Kansas City has the bye, and all of a sudden it's 24-0. And, of course they came back. But I do look at this weekend. It's been a while since they've really had a game of consequence. The Browns coming in, rolling off that huge win over the Steelers. How dangerous do you think this is for the Chiefs, if at all?
Well, it's interesting, right? I think at some point during the season, and you talk to a lot of people that have repeated. You mentioned Schlereth when we do our Chop Shop stuff and Teddy Bruschi. They'll tell you the hard part of repeating is the mental fatigue as much as the physical fatigue. And it's just like, okay, listen, we know we're good. We know we want to prove in the postseason, so we just have to find a way to work our way through the regular season. And it's different than when you're chasing it. It's 100% different because you have this thing in front of you that you think you can taste, and you're like, I've worked my whole life, and this is the thing that's in front of me, and I want to get it. I want to put my hands on that trophy. When you're the champion, your mindset changes completely. And I think that they've, for lack of a better term, they've played with their food for a long time. They won 6 straight games by 6 points or less. To put that in context, here's the list of other times that's happened in the NFL. Never! It's never happened before. So, they go up big on the Saints, they go up big on the Dolphins, and they just sort of, lollygag for a little bit. You can't do that in the postseason. But I do think that they're ready. What you're going to see out of Kansas City this weekend, I believe, will be the best Kansas City you've seen all season. I think they're rested, they're ready, they know what's in front of them. They're trying to do something that hasn't happened in 16 years, repeat as Super Bowl champs. And it's a bad matchup with Cleveland. Like, everyone say, oh, Cleveland can run the ball. Well, so can Baltimore. And as presently constructed, the Ravens are 0-3 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's the problem for the Browns. Obviously, it's a circus show with Patrick Mahomes and company. The Browns' defense is 29th in DVOA against deep passes. Hello, Tyreek Hill. The Browns are 29th in DVOA on third down passes. Hello, Patrick Mahomes. The Browns are 28th in the league in DVOA on passes to tight end. Have you heard of Travis Kelce? So all the things that the Chiefs do really well, the Browns are terrible at. So the only puncher's chance Cleveland has is to have those two backs run for a bazillion yards and cash in on a touchdown in every red zone situation they have. If they don't do that, it's going to be a really long day for Cleveland.
Trey Wingo on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Trey, there's reports out there that maybe Jacksonville and Urban Meyer are close to finalizing a deal. If that ends up happening and Urban Meyer becomes the head coach in Jacksonville, how do you think he translates to the NFL, yeah, given his history and, kind of having one foot in the door, one foot out all the time in the offense that he runs? How do you think he translates?
Well, a couple things. It's amazing how much his health is better when there's a job open, right? It's
yeah.
Phenomenal. It's crazy how that happens. Here's the deal. Urban Meyer is a very, very good coach. And could he be a good coach in the NFL? Absolutely. But history suggests that it's going to be much more of a struggle than he or anyone else wants to believe. There are only 3 coaches that have had real success in collegiate ball and gone to have amazing success coaching in the NFL. That would be Dick Vermeil, Jimmy Johnson, and Pete Carroll. The list of bodies strewn across the NFL landscape of college coaches who had remarkable careers and try to take it to the next level is really, really bad. There's just not a lot of examples out there. Could it be good for Urban Meyer? Absolutely. Do I have any certainty that it will? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence sounds good, but still a lot to figure out there. Of course, around here, Trey, people are bracing for Arthur Smith. Every day we get a new update, like, oh, he just went to dinner with this team and second interview with that team. What do you think about Arthur Smith? Pretty rapid ascent here from tight ends coach to the one guy who was requested by everyone. How do you think he projects as a head coach?
Well, I think he's going to get an opportunity. You know what I mean? I think he's earned that situation. There's no question in my mind that he has earned that opportunity. But again, it's one of those things where I can't tell you with any certainty how it's going to turn out. I mean, it turned out well for Matt LaFleur, but of course Matt LaFleur went to a place that had, wait for it, Aaron Rodgers. You know, so the most attractive job right there for me right now that's opening is absolutely the Chargers. You have a quarterback in Justin Herbert. Just think about the other pieces that are in place right now for the Chargers. You have Bosa, you have Ingram, you have Derwin James, you have Keenan Allen, you have Austin Eckler, and I'm missing a few names. But if you talk about a situation that's ready for success right away, the most attractive job out there. I mean, I know people are like, "Oh, Trevor Lawrence and all that kind of stuff." I can go down the list of quarterbacks drafted in the first round since 2011, and most of them have sucked. Okay, there's been a few that have been really, really good. But it's a crapshoot. It really, really is. And we have a proven commodity in Justin Herbert right now in a ready-made situation with a great stadium and a team that has, if they just don't get injured. The Chargers are so weird. They're just so weird. Weird things happen to them all the time. In 2010, the Chargers had the number one offense and the number one defense and failed to make the playoffs. That's almost impossible, yet somehow they pulled it off. So if you can just get the weirdness out of the Chargers situation, to me, if I'm Arthur Smith, and with his offensive capabilities and his creative play calling, that to me is by far the most desirable job.
Trey Wingo has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Trey, we really appreciate you taking time to join us. Great stuff, and hope to talk to you again soon.
You got it, guys. Take care. Be well.
Absolutely. You as well. Trey Wingo of the Half Forgotten History podcast also does the Chop Shop. Great work with Mark Schlereth as well. And it was interesting to kind of hear Trey talk about Jacksonville and Urban Meyer, as reported earlier by Adam Schefter, in advanced talks to finalize a deal maybe as soon as this week for Urban Meyer to become the next head coach in the NFL. And Joe, Trey threw out the history of college coaches trying to make the jump from being a successful coach in college and making that jump to the NFL. And it's been difficult to find track records of coaches making that jump and having long-term success. Why do you think it's been that way? And what kind of a chance would you give Urban Meyer to change that narrative?
I do think that I think it's, as we move forward, I think we might see more college to pro success just because the NFL has gone about really borrowing a lot of stuff from college football. Again, most of my lifetime, a lot of different kinds of offensive approaches in college football, and a lot of them were just dismissed. Like, that just not going to work in the NFL. It doesn't work. These defenses are too fast and athletic. You can't do it. And now I feel like there's just a ton that flows up from college football to the NFL. So I do think that, not that Urban's exact offense that he ran, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, he's just going to take that to Jacksonville. And obviously that's been modified a lot, different OCs and all that. But I think that, a lot of what he does can work with the right pieces in place. So I think that that's been the biggest problem. I think over the years, it used to be like a receiver came to the NFL, and it's like, just forget the rookie year. I mean, here and there, you'd have an exception to that. You'd have Randy Moss, But, like, even Jerry Rice took, 2 years to get to where he was really a difference maker. I mean, it used to be like the college game to the NFL, it's like going to a completely different language. And now, how many guys do we see come right in and excel at that position, let alone the quarterbacks who are coming right in as rookies and excelling, and in some cases are getting given up on after like a year, you know? So I think all that stuff points to probably more college to pro success moving forward. We'll see if I'm right, but that's just my guess.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I do think it's interesting in this specific case with Urban Meyer, like, can his offense translate? Because, you know, we talked about it with Charles Robinson a couple of weeks ago, talking about that offense and how, you know, talking to people and watching people watch film of his time at Ohio State, maybe people were starting to catch up in the college game. And we know it. I mean, people catch up and adapt and do things to stop your strengths all the time in the NFL. I'm interested if Urban Meyer takes this job and you've got Jacksonville taking Trevor Lawrence with their first pick, what offense does he run? How does he handle that? Does he run what he's been running at Florida and Ohio State and not try to adapt, not hire an offensive coordinator to call plays? How does Urban handle that? I think the answer to that will be very telling to what his approach is for this job. Is he a guy that is stubborn and wants to do things his way? Or is he a guy that's willing to adapt and willing maybe even to turn the keys over offensively and have somebody else call the plays? I don't know what the answer to that is, but if that happens and Urban Meyer takes this job, that'll be the first thing I'm looking to see, is how willing is he to either adapt or hand the keys over to somebody else in terms of calling plays.
Yeah, well, some of the criticisms of Urban are just like with Gus, you know, Gus Malzahn. I mean, I think of Urban Meyer, I think of quarterback run game. You know, Alex Smith going back to Utah, and yep, obviously Tebow and Braxton Miller. That's some of his best teams. Heavy, heavy quarterback run game, and heavy run game in general with the spread. Now, he's also, you know, I mean, he's had good passing offenses too, but that's been a big part of it. You don't think of that as something that'll work in the NFL, although, again, Baltimore kind of is bucking that a little bit. But, I mean, like, if you bring in Trevor Lawrence, I'm not playing Trevor Lawrence. I'm not using him the way I use Tim Tebow, right? I mean, now, hey, he can be a devastating runner too. I mean, he has everything you want in a quarterback, but it's got to be different. And I guess I would hope that Urban Meyer would have a separate OC and try to modernize things and update things, because, yeah, I mean, some of that stuff probably isn't going to work in this league.
And it was interesting to also, you know, get his thoughts on the Chiefs and the Browns, because I look at, you know, the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, the line right now is 10 for the Chiefs. They're a 10-point favorite in this game. And, you know, obviously the Browns playing really well right now. They can run the ball. They got that two-headed attack with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And you think to yourself, okay, well, if you can get the running game going and you can establish yourself and control the clock with time of possession, maybe Cleveland is a good matchup against Kansas City. And then you listen to some of the numbers that Trey threw out there defensively for how they've defended against tight ends, and, you know, obviously how effective Patrick Mahomes is against everybody. Doesn't sound like that's a good matchup for Cleveland on defense.
Yeah, he made a compelling case for why it isn't. I still think, I mean, Denzel Ward helps, and I still think that the ability to run it, you know, you got to, like he said, I mean, you got to finish those red zone opportunities, but they're going to move the ball against the Chiefs. They're going to have a chance to score points against the Chiefs. Baker Mayfield's got to be great in the red zone. I still think just because they can get after the passer, that you know, that gives them a better chance than I think some defenses against the Chiefs, even though he pointed out how bad they are downfield. I mean, if you can get after Patrick Mahomes, we've seen it some. We saw it with the Raiders this year. You know, you have a chance to maybe get him off his spot a little bit, disrupt him. I mean, that's, you know, that's probably the best you're going to do. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see. He says he thinks we're going to see the best from the Chiefs. If that's true, I'm going to be impressed, because, I mean, this is certainly a situation that in the past we've seen some rust on some of these teams that are in this situation.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, Trey needs to be a regular guest next football season. He was great. We do enjoy some Trey Wingo here on the show. Thank you, Ron.
We do. He was great. And also, I loved what he said about, you know, the accumulation, the total of rings does not
mean that
you're necessarily the greatest of all time. So thank you, Trey. Thank you very much, my friend.
Do you feel validated now?
Well, I just hope everybody listens. I hope everybody listens to him and takes note.
We should have asked Trey for his thoughts on the bye week and the correct terminology as well. See what his thoughts were on that.
That'll be next time. We will talk bye versus idle, and I'm sure he'll have the right answer there too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that is bye week.
Yes, I hope so. But
we've got bye weeks now. The Chiefs had a bye. That is exactly when you say it. The Chiefs are coming off.
I shouldn't have brought it back up. When we come back, who's got the most pressure on them remaining in the playoffs right now? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it Drew Brees? Is it somebody else? We'll discuss that when we come back. But I got a word from FanDuel, and the playoffs in the NFL, I got to tell you, they're one of my favorite times of the year, and I can't wait to bet on all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot, because right now new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the divisional round this weekend. That's right, 25-1 odds, any team, any playoff game this weekend. Maybe you like the Green Bay Packers. They're 6.5-point favorites at home. It's going to be cold at Lambeau on Saturday. Rams dealing with some injuries right now. Maybe the Packers are the way you want to go. 25-1 odds this weekend. You can take that chance on Green Bay. So make sure you don't miss out on this exclusive offer. I've been betting on FanDuel all season long. It's been easy to use. They've gotten your money to you very quickly, sometimes in as little as 24 hours. And they've got a range of betting options, including player props, futures. Find whatever bet you're looking for on FanDuel, because there's a ton of options to do so. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code Rob. That's R-O-B, so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. A max bonus of $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And make sure you're tuning in later this morning, coming up here in about 15 minutes, and every weekday morning on Preds Game Day at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. And with the Predator season getting underway today, we will have our first edition of the season of Preds Pick to Click coming up at 8:45. Ryan Porth, what can people expect with this thing we're doing all year long with Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka?
Yeah, so this is a new segment that we're going to be doing every Preds game day while you guys are on at 8:45. And the three of us will all give our player that we think is going to score a goal in that night's game, so in tonight's season opener for the Preds against the Blue Jackets. And then we are going to have the first person that calls in at 8:45, that person will have an opportunity to come on the air and make their pick as well.
So don't call in right now.
Right.
8:45.
At 8:45, once we start the segment, call in. And if that player scores, you win a Preds prize pack. A lot of good stuff in there. So this is going to be something that we're going to be keeping track of.
Yeah.
Of how the listeners do, how the three of us do all season long with picking our players that we think is going to score a goal tonight.
Joe Rexroad, I hope I do better in this competition than I have in Pigskin Pick'em, which we'll get yet another update on tomorrow, and how futile I've been in that regard all year long.
Well, you're way better than me this last week. So you and I are in a death match to avoid the basement there. So, but yes, hopefully, you know, we can both be better than Porth. That should be the goal.
That's really the primary goal that we have here going into this competition. So we'll see whether or not we can do that throughout the hockey season. With the look he has on his face right now, don't think there's a ton of expectations that we will be better than him.
Well, judging by my success last night on the FanDuel Sportsbook app with some player props and picking players to score goals, you guys have an uphill challenge.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Lots of confidence
just
from
kidding.
Ryan Porth heading into this competition. Joe Rexroad, we were talking in the last segment, speaking of Pigskin Pick'em, we'll have, you know, the playoff games coming up tomorrow to pick in that competition. But as you look at the playoffs right now and evaluate the teams remaining in the divisional playoffs, who do you think has got the most pressure on them remaining in these playoffs? Whether it's a coach, a quarterback, a team, like, as you look here and you look at the matchups, who do you think has the most pressure to win in these playoffs?
I think it's your guy by far. I think it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's going to win MVP. He's had an incredible year. What a response to, you know, another draft with you know, no help, and instead they draft his heir apparent, you know, and he comes out and plays like this. But he's going to be the MVP. He's got the number one seed. They're at home. And this is the year. I mean, this is the year for the Packers to put it all together and go double his Super Bowl rings. So I think it's him far and away. I would probably go Drew Brees next. But, you know, the funny thing with Drew Brees is it's been a very uneven year. He's been banged up. And I think a lot of people think the Bucs are going to beat them this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I buy that, but I understand it. I mean, Brady is playing really well. It's hard to beat a team three times. It's a good team. So I just think that there's a expectation around the league that Rodgers and the Packers are going to be in the Super Bowl. And that's obviously not necessarily the case for Brees. I mean, if they get past this week, they will be clear underdogs going to play the Packers.
Yeah, look, I think it's Aaron Rodgers as well. And, you know, he hasn't had a lot of opportunities like this one. I mean, he's talked about playing in NFC title games before, and they've all been on the road. So you've got a chance now, if you take care of business this weekend against the Rams, and the Packers are 6.5-point favorites in that game, you're going to have the NFC title game at home. And as we know, it's Green Bay. I mean, it's going to be cold. It could be snowing. The Titans saw firsthand how challenging that can be playing in that environment. This is it for Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is his chance to win another Super Bowl. You don't know what the team's going to look like next year. Maybe they're just as good next year. I have no idea. But to me, this is the best chance that Rodgers has left to win a Super Bowl. So I'd agree. I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I think there's a lot of pressure on that team in general to get the job done. And it's interesting to look around the rest of the league because, you know, as much as we talk about the Chiefs and how good they are and how they're probably one of the best teams that's ever been assembled in terms of the history of the NFL based on that offense and how good they are, I don't sense that there's a ton of pressure on Kansas City. Like, I think everybody just has this thing in their minds that, you know, even if they don't win this year, Patrick Mahomes is good enough where they're going to be back in this conversation every single year as long as he's a member of that organization. So, look, I mean, there's always some pressure that comes with trying to defend a Super Bowl title. And as Trey Wingo said, you've got an opportunity to do something that nobody's done in the last 16 years, and that is win back-to-back championships. But I don't sense a ton of pressure on Kansas City in these playoffs. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's just the vibe I get.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that there's more pressure on them than anybody else in the AFC right now, but I agree it's not the same as the guys we were just talking about. I think last year the pressure was on Andy Reid, and that's all anybody was talking about was Andy Reid can't get it done in the big moment. He messes up the clock or a play call or whatever, and they all wanted to win for him, and so that's off. And Lamar Jackson, even though, again, I think it was way overblown and unfair that a guy plays two playoff games and there's all that pressure on him, it's also the pressure of people saying that this offense can't win in the postseason. So that's been removed. But I'd still say, you know, in the AFC, it's the Chiefs. I mean, they are largely expected to get there. But they do. You're right. I mean, they're going to be back if they don't get there. They're going to be knocking on the door. They're going to lose some people. I mean, there's going to be some salary cap casualties ahead for them, but they're still going to have their core, and that should be good enough to be knocking at the door for the next, you know, several years to come.
And it's interesting, like, we heard Trey talk about in the last segment, you know, Rodgers and Brees and trying to get that second Super Bowl ring. And I realize, you know, the rings at the end of the day, they're not the end-all, be-all, but they are important when you start talking about discussions of greatest quarterbacks of all time. And Brady's got 6. He's going for 7 with Tampa Bay. And if he's able to do that this year and win one with Tampa, then it's just ridiculous at this point that he's 43 and still playing at that level. But how important do you think it is for guys like Aaron Rodgers and like Drew Brees, who are both had, you know, obviously Hall of Fame careers, some of the greatest quarterbacks to have ever played the game, but only on one Super Bowl each for the both of them? How important do you think it is for one of those guys to get that second one in terms of where they fit in legacy-wise in terms of the greatest quarterbacks ever?
Yeah, it's a separator when it comes to because obviously there's a lot of quarterbacks with, you know, obviously with one ring. The number of quarterbacks with multiple, you know, Super Bowl rings is not a long list. You start thinking about people like, well, obviously Bart Starr got the first two, but you know, you think about Staubach and Bradshaw and Montana. You know, there's some guys on that list who aren't great all-time players, like Jim Plunkett, you know, Bob Green. I mean, Aikman is a guy who's on that list. It's a short list. It's what? I mean, Elway has two. He got two late right. in his career, really, you know. So I think there's, what, 13 guys? And obviously, you know, another one of them is Eli Manning. I mean, you know, Peyton has two. He's an all-time great. Eli, I don't consider an all-time great quarterback.
But, no.
Still has two. So, I mean, it's not like you're automatically in this list of all, you know, slam dunk Hall of Famers, some of the best of all time. Again, Dan Marino is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. The number is zero. Dan Fouts, the number is zero. He's better than a lot of these guys who have multiple rings. So it's two different discussions, but you're still in a very – you're in a much more elite group if you can go from one to two. And so I think it does matter. You get it one time, and I think for Breeze and Rodgers – you know, those guys have been chasing it, and that's probably a lot of the motivation, especially for Breeze, to keep it going as long as he's kept it going. He's had all these good teams that have had a chance in the last few years, and for one reason or the other, they haven't been able to get it done in the postseason. I think that's the driving force behind him still playing football right now.
I do too, and that team specifically, it's interesting because, you know, Trey Wingo mentioned that was his preseason pick to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. A lot of people felt that way, picking the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. That was my preseason pick for the Saints to win the Super Bowl this year. And it just feels like, you know, based on the way they played, obviously Michael Thomas has been out the majority of the year. But I just don't get the same sense around them right now nationally that that's what the perspective is. Based on Drew Brees, the way he's played, the injuries he's fought through, and how at times it's just been a struggle offensively for that team. But I look at that defense – and I look at the weapons that I know are still there offensively with Michael Thomas and Kamara, obviously, and still think that it could be the most complete team. Like, I know the Packers, they're playing great, and that defense has been really good the last 3-4 weeks. I still have concerns there. Like, New Orleans still may be the most complete overall team when they're at their best, and that's just not the vibe you get when you talk about the Saints right now.
Well, I think they are if he plays great. And he hasn't looked great a lot of this year. How much of that is Michael Thomas? You know, I think a lot of it. But he's got – I mean, this week, you know, we'll know. Because I thought at times, you know, they ended up handling the Bears. But they also struggled to protect him. Now, the Bears have a good pass rush. I mean, there were time stretches in that game where that offense just looked out of sync. But if he gets going, then I agree. I think that they have the best team top to bottom. I don't think he's not going to reach Aaron Rodgers' level of performance.
No.
I mean, Rodgers has just been incredible this year, but I still think the Saints could beat the Packers if Brees can get up to a certain level that we haven't seen him at a ton this year.
When we come back, we're going to have our first edition of Preds Pick to Click for this season, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and give us who you think is going to score tonight for the Predators against Columbus, and you'll have an opportunity to win a prize pack. So make sure you're dialing the phone right now, 615-737-1025. We'll have that for you coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a game day morning for the Nashville Predators, and we've got our first edition of Predators Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We're going to do this every Preds game day morning here throughout weekdays on Robbie and Rex Road. At 8:45, we'll have Predators Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. You be the first caller, and you'll have a chance to predict your goal scorer for the night for the Predators. And if it happens, if that player scores a goal, you will win a prize pack. So without further ado, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Julie, who is our first participant in Predators Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Julie, how are we doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate you taking time to join us. So Julie, as you look ahead to tonight, the Predators opening up the season against Columbus, what is your Preds Pick to Click? Who do you think scores tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Philip Forsberg.
I would say that's a pretty good pick, Julie. I like your chances on that one. Very well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining
us.
Good luck, Julie. And if
Julie
wins, if Philip Forsberg scores tonight, Julie will win a prize pack for the Nashville Predators. So, Ryan Porth, Julie, going with Forsberg right out of the gate. I thought he may be a popular pick, and we'll see how the rest of us handle that.
I have a feeling he's going to be a popular pick all season long.
Yeah. So, it's interesting to see how people are going to approach this. You've got guys that have scored a lot of goals before, maybe statistically give you the best chance, but as we know, it doesn't always work out that way in hockey and in games specifically, one game at a time when you're trying to pick. So without further ado, let's begin the competition amongst ourselves as well, and we'll keep track of this all season long. Hopefully one of us has got a halfway decent percentage on this, and Predators Pick the Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Ryan Porth, would you like to lead us off?
Sure, I would like to lead it off. I'm going to go with the player that will be joining this show every single week, and I'm going with Matt Duchene. I think Matt Duchene is coming in the season with a chip on his shoulder, and he starts the season right with a goal, perhaps on the power play, who knows, but Matt Duchene getting in the goal column tonight.
A little bit of a revenge game against his former team.
Sure.
Very briefly, his former team, but Matt Duchene, Ryan Porth says, get on the board tonight. Joe Rexroad, your Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Who are you going with in this game tonight?
So just to clarify then, obviously the three of us will pick someone different, and then we also want to pick someone different from the participant, from the caller.
I mean, you can
correct?
Pick whoever you want. This is an open competition, Joe Rexroad. You can pick whoever you want. So if
so
you
I
want to take
copy,
the easy way out and go with Matt Duchene like Porth did, you can.
Or Forsberg.
Or Forsberg.
Maybe I'll just copy Porth every time, you know?
Maybe so.
I mean, he kicked our butts in pigskin pick'em, you know, why not? No, I'm going to go – I like going with the new face on something like this. I think back to P.K. Subban's first game with the Preds against the Blackhawks, and, of course, he scored twice. I know he had a power play blast in that game.
Scored
at least
once,
goal.
Yeah.
We've seen it with other guys, too.
Kyle Turris.
Kyle Turris is an example of that. I know it's a season opener, but I'm gonna go with a new face. So give me Luke Cunningham as my Predators pick to click, getting a goal in his Predators debut.
I like that. Luke Cunningham, the new guy coming in, getting a goal. So the two of you, very confident in this Duchene line tonight. Obviously, right now, Matt Duchene, based off practice, has been playing with Eric Halla and Luke Cunningham. So you're going with Matt Duchene, Porth. Joe Rexroad going with Luke Cunningham.
Does that mean you're going to complete the trifecta and go with Eric Halla at your boy?
It does not. It does not mean that at all. I am going to go a little bit different on this route. You've both gone with forwards. I'm going with a defenseman. Give me the defending Norris Trophy winner for a goal scorer tonight, Roman Josi. We talked to John Hines about it a little bit before. It's been amazing to me how good Yossi's been, especially like his ability to skate and to move around with the puck. It's been elite ever since he came into the league. But he's just gotten so much better every single year. And I think, you know, obviously 30 years old right now, just won the Norris Trophy. It's going to be difficult to replicate the type of season that he had a year ago. But that guy is just so good. And I think on the power play tonight, Roman Josi finds a way to get one done. He winds one up from the point, and he scores. So I will take Roman Josi in this competition.
See, if you had any guts, you would have gone with Mark Bovejecki, okay? That's and by the way, did I botch that pronunciation?
Yes, you did. It's Bovejecki.
Dang it. But by the way, the good news is, I don't know if you guys saw in your inbox,
but
Nick Karnowski sent out the pronunciation guide, which is a separate audio file for each guy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's service right there. A separate audio file. I'm going to go through them. I'm going to listen to each one and make sure that I've got things correct. I don't know that we needed like one for like Nick Cousins, but we've got one anyway. Just in case we need it, we got Nick Cousins' audio file too. But yes, Bovejecki. How's that?
Ryan Ellis, do you need a pronunciation guide
for
that?
Well, hey, our buddy Justin Bradford. Okay, so we say Mikael Granlund. I mean, Justin Bradford's like Mikael Granlund.
I'm not doing all that. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, he goes with, like, he tries to go into a hardcore Finnish pronunciation. So we could always still probably get better. I'm looking forward to listening to some of these, but Mark Bovejecki. How's that?
That's better. That's good. Way to go, Joe.
It's still not 100%, but you're getting there. Well, maybe we'll get there by the end of the season.
So I mean, it's day one, you know?
I feel like I've already taken like a risk in this competition. I talked about trying to be better and trying to really come into an area that should be a strength of mine. I mean, I've been around the NHL. I've covered this team for 10 years. So this really should be a strength of mine. And I immediately go off the board and go to a defenseman. And I know it's Roman Josi and he scores a lot, so it's not that crazy of a pick. But you both went with forwards, and I immediately go with a defenseman. And I may already regret it. This competition may not be off to a good start for me.
Yeah, I think Josi's going to get picked a lot, don't you think?
I think so. I think
you're fine.
I think Julie, when she picks Philip Forsberg, especially if he has the type of year I think he might have, he's going to be a popular pick in this competition. You got to get your timing right. If he scores the next Saturday, like if Forsberg scores Saturday night, doesn't matter.
Has to be tonight.
Yeah, has to be tonight. Ryan Porth, another thing we were doing earlier this week, also sponsored by New Amsterdam Vodka, was entering folks into a competition to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. And we had people texting in all week last week, all week this week, in order to enter themselves into that competition. So, Ryan Porth, now that we're here, it's Thursday, January the 14th. Do you have the results? Do you have the winner of the competition for the Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and the copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka?
It is Billy Hansen from Burns, Tennessee.
Ooh. Congratulations, so, Billy.
Billy gets the jersey and the video game. And not to be mixed up with Billy Burns, the former Major League Baseball player who had a cup of coffee, but Billy from Burns is the winner.
Very
so
nice.
Congrats, Billy.
Way to go, Billy. You've won the Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So, Joe, the opportunity here on this show and in this segment for a bunch of winners when it comes to the Nashville Predators.
Go, Billy. I can pronounce that one. Hey, speaking of pronunciations, guys, I this just came to me when Robbie started this segment. Predators pick to click. You got to be careful, okay?
I know.
So you got to be on your P's and Q's.
I know. It came to me too. But, yeah, I think I handled it well the first time.
You did. You did a good job. I'm glad that you were the first one.
You're always trying to put stuff in my head, though, to see if you might get me to screw up. That's really greatly appreciated here on the show. Appreciate that.
That's a bit of a landmine this year, so we'll see how you do.
Thank you. Now that's going to be in my head the rest of the year. We'll see how I handle that. That is our first edition of Predators Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. So as we look at this, fellas, who do we have the most confidence in, Julie or one of our picks? I think I'm leaning Julie on this.
Probably Julie.
Yeah, I think Forsberg's going to score tonight. I really do.
I feel good about the new guy, man. New guy scoring. That's a common. For whatever reason, it's like in baseball, you know, someone makes a diving catch, they always lead off the next inning. This is a sports tradition that new guy in hockey scores in his first night. So I feel good about Luke. Luke K, come on through.
With your luck, Joe, Mark Borowiecki is going to score tonight.
Just a howitzer the point.
That's probably more realistic, yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I hope that happens so bad. I do want to pass along some breaking news very quickly. This coming from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. We've talked about Urban Meyer and the Jags all day long, maybe coming to a deal this week. Jeremy Fowler says Urban Meyer and the Jaguars are getting a deal done today. Meyer will be the next coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, Joe, looks like it's official. It's happening. Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville.
Man, it is going to be a fun – I mean, look – The Titans-Jaguars Thursday night game is suddenly going to be like – I mean, that's going to have to be a Monday night game now,
yeah.
Right? That's like big-time, prime-time NFL football. That's going to be fun.
Do you think
Urban.
Trevor Lawrence can tackle Derrick Henry?
Well, I think he's got a better chance than Jalen Ramsey based on things I've seen.
Oh, the AFC South keeps getting more interesting by the day. When we come back, Ryan Porth has got out some team and player props for the NHL season, and he's going to toss our way. A lot of them to do with the Nashville Predators as well. We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.